We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I'm back, and welcome, 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 welcome to the Howard Eskin podcast. Yes, it took a little hiatus only because football season was so busy, and then I had the Super Bowl and spring training, so now we're rocking and rolling, coming back from the NFL owners meetings, which was very, very interesting, but we'll talk about it. The rule change, which I still think there will be a problem, not as many problems, I guess you could say, but there will be a problem when you're dealing with pass interference and whether to change the call or challenge the call, and there'll still be some calls that really aren't made. But what I first want to do before I talk about all those things, Peter King is always such a fascinating guy. He's got his own, basically his own network, and his own everything, and whether it's Sports Illustrated, whatever it is, he's gigantic on football. And we talked of football, and we talked about the Eagles, and he did have a really couple of fascinating things to say. One of them was an interesting and a great story about Nick Foles, and he loves Nick Foles the way we in Philadelphia love Nick Foles. And he talks about what he thinks can happen with the Eagles this year. And I will say this, and I said it when I talked to him. When I talked to him a couple of years at the NFL owners meetings, he actually thought the Eagles could go to the Super Bowl that year. And they actually went to the Super Bowl that year. So before we go on any further, and we'll talk about it, and we'll talk about a lot of things, the major rule change. We'll talk about the Phillies, which people are really talking about. And then I talked to Sean McDermott, the head coach, formerly a coach with the Eagles, an assistant, head coach of the Buffalo Bills, and his situation with video games. As we all know, the Phillies had a real issue, which didn't come out until this year, with players playing video games during the game. But we'll talk to Sean McDermott and how he dealt with the situation. But first, let's go to Peter King. I'm here with somebody that, when you think of NFL, it's iconic, which you've been called thousands of times. Peter King is, and I'll just reference this before we start. I think when we did this here in Phoenix a couple of years ago, I think you thought the Eagles were going to the Super Bowl that year when I talked to you at the owners' meetings. And they ended up going a year later, but it was pretty good. Actually, they went that year. I guess they went that year.
It was pretty weird just thinking about how, look, everything has to go right when you win a Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah,
but
I saw that.
But I just, sometimes you look at a team and you say, I like signings X, Y, and Z. I like this coach. I like this coaching staff. It's kind of funny. I've always had this thought that one of the really good coaches in the NFL who I didn't think was ever going to get a head coaching job was Frank Reich. And I think what happened sort of in his last year, especially with the Eagles, is that Doug Peterson, who is a tremendous delegator, if he sees a person who is competent and who's really good, he's going to delegate as much responsibility as he can. And I think that was really Doug's strength during this. One of Doug's strengths during the Super Bowl year was basically to look at his staff and to see, you know, I've got a great miner of someone who mines ideas out there in Mike Groh. I've got a great choreographer and a great guy for knowing when to call what in Frank Reich. And so that was really, and how would I know? No one would have known at the start of that year how good they would have been. But, you know, sometimes you look at a team and you say, you know, I kind of like what they're doing there. And, it turned out to be pretty good.
So what does it take for that magic? And you're right. I remember so many things about that season where something had to happen, and there was quite a few of them. So what has to happen for the Eagles team going into this season, okay, the way you look at it?
I mean, the biggest thing is I think Carson Wentz has to start 16 games.
Yeah.
And look, I remember going back a long time when Phil Simms was the Giants quarterback, and they really didn't know. Bill Parcells didn't know if they could trust him to stay healthy, because he was hurt 4 of his first 5 years in the NFL. Not debilitating injuries, but just little nagging things. I am not one of these guys who says if you get hurt twice, you're injury prone, but Carson Wentz has to play.
Right.
He just has to play. And so, you know, that is going to be a huge part of whether the Eagles succeed or fail. And I just go back to, you know, Thanksgiving, December 1st, whenever Carson Wentz was absolutely lightning in a bottle, legit MVP candidate. There's no reason why he can't be that guy. And there's no reason why he isn't that guy. He just needs to be that guy.
But you need the quarterback to get to the Super Bowl, so yes, obviously that's the key.
And, you know, to me, I think one of the this will be the Eagles will be a case study, in my opinion, for a long time in history. Because everybody always says that you need a quarterback. Well, of course you need a quarterback, but the Eagles proved 2 years in a row that you can win with your backup quarterback. The support staff and the talent around that quarterback, both on the offensive line, in the backfield, at receiver, at tight end, and all over the defense, was there. Howard, that's why I think, I don't know that I'll pick the Eagles this year,
no,
but I might.
Yeah.
Because what isn't there? Everything's there. And so, and I have a lot of faith in Carson Wentz to be the guy who he was in mid-2017.
You know, when you say backup quarterback, and part of the magic of the Eagles was Nick Foles. I mean, when he came in that Rams game, and I saw what he did to help win that game, to win the NFC East, and then move on. And then last year, he was one drop pass away from maybe having a chance to get to the Super Bowl again. You remember Nick Foles, but he's not your typical
right
backup. And what do you remember about him in terms of the magic that he created?
I'm going to tell you a Nick Foles story.
Okay.
Nick Foles wins the Super Bowl. He writes his book.
Yep.
And he goes on a little bit of a book tour after he writes his book. He's in New York. I live in New York. The publicist calls me and says, "You want to interview Foles about the book?" I said, "I would love to." And Nick, I live on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and Nick, on this particular day, was going to get in a car and drive up the West Side Highway and go out to New Jersey to a little bookstore in Ridgewood, New Jersey. And so the PR guy said, "We'll just stop by your apartment and pick you up. You know, you're right off the West Side Highway." I said, "Yeah." And so they stopped by my apartment, and I said, "Hey, Nick, how you doing?" I said, "Nick, the doorman in my building, you've heard this before, he's the world's biggest Philadelphia Eagles fan. I said, would you mind just shaking hands with him? Just coming out of the car and shaking hands with him?" Nick Foles said, "Sure." So Nick reaches back. He gets a book. And he brings it. And I said, "Hey, William." My doorman is William. "Hey, William, I brought somebody here to say hello."
That's great.
And William, now Nick Foles obviously is a very religious guy.
Yes.
And William says, Jesus FC. It's Nick Foles standing right in front of me. I said, William, Nick's kind of a religious dude. So William, I could swear, I thought he was going to faint. He was so excited. And he goes, I love you. I love you. I love you. Like, and Foles goes, okay, hey, thanks a lot. So I took a picture of him and he goes, I mean, I'll write you a book. So he writes the book. And so I went in the car. We went out to the appearance. I came back and William is there. And I walked in my building and William was shaking. When he saw me, he goes, I will never be able to thank you. I mean, so, okay.
Nick's that kind of guy.
Nick is that kind of guy. He's the greatest. He is the absolute greatest.
I love the guy.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I just tell you that story because you recognize that Eagles fan. He could be in New York. He could be in Hermosa Beach, California. Yep. The Eagles inspire this nuttiness, this incredible fandom and all that stuff. I think what is extraordinary is how Nick Foles, because honestly, think of Nick Foles. Okay, he's got, when he steps in after the injury at the LA Coliseum to Carson Wentz.
Yep.
This guy's had one really good year in the NFL. That's it. And everybody thinks,
they're
there
done.
Goes
oh,
the
yeah,
Eagles.
I know.
It's over. Yeah. Can you imagine mentally what you have to be like as a person and an athlete to not let that moment overwhelm you? And I don't care. You say whatever you want. You can say, that's my job, blah, blah, blah. You know, you're the backup quarterback coming in to play quarterback for the Philadelphia friggin' Eagles as they're trying to win a Super Bowl. And along the way, you have these rocky moments. And then it comes together and you beat Tom Brady. You conquer the great Belichick. You know, you climb Mount Patriot, you know, and you give the people in Philadelphia, many of them, the biggest thrill of their sporting lives, no matter if they live to be 99.
Why do you think Eagles fans are like that? Not just in Philadelphia, but I know when I travel for games and I go to all the games, there's always somebody that's an Eagles fan, regardless of the stadium.
I'll tell you what, Howard, last year, I got an incredible amount of crap thrown on my head because I said the Eagles fans booed them off the field as they were coming off at halftime when they were playing crappy against Dallas. And I said it was Bush League. I'll say it was Bush League till the day I died. And Eagle fans will say, you know,
bleep you.
Yeah. And so we'll agree to disagree on that. But in my opinion, that's just how it is. I'm not going to change that. I can disagree with it,
right?
But I'm not going to change it. And I do think it's Bush League. However, that is what you have to live with. If you want to succeed in Philadelphia, that's the ethos that you have to deal with. And I think it is 80% great. And reading a lot of the stuff that Bryce Harper has said about that, I say he gets it. And he wanted to be in that town, and he wanted to be in one town for the rest of his career. Right. I think that's great. I love that. I really love that. I just hope that people realize sometimes baseball players go 0 for 16, you know, and strike out 10 times out of 12 at bats, you know, because that's not going to be pretty. There's going to be times, ask Mike Schmidt, obviously, you know, over time. But I just think it is a special, special person who can step into that pressure, deal with that pressure, conquer that pressure, and be great. And I think Nick Foles will be able to do – Nick Foles can go on and have whatever career the rest of his life. He's never, ever going to have 30 days in January and February 2018, ever, no matter what he does. And again – Hardly anybody in all of sports will ever have those 30 days.
You know, I'll tell you about the fans. Jason Worth, who I talked to on the air, and he played with Harper and he played for the Phillies. So I says, when do you think Harper's going to get booed? He says, I'll give you a story. Chase Utley, early in his career, hit a grand slam. His next at bat, he struck out with the bases loaded, and they booed him.
So, didn't Chase Utley love it, though? Didn't he love Philly, or did he have a problem with Philly?
No, he didn't have a problem, but he's very quiet. Now yeah. He's kind of opened himself up a little bit. But, yeah. You know, I want to talk about chemistry.
Yep.
Because that year that the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I thought, and I've covered the team since 76, a long time, and it was the best chemistry I've ever seen on a football, I'll just stick with football, on a football team ever for the Philadelphia Eagles. How important do you
but
think
Howard,
that is?
Let me ask you this. Wasn't the chemistry similar last year when Chris Long builds the shrine in his locker to Nick Foles?
They didn't have as many guys. You lost Selleck. Yeah. You lost Trey Burton. You can go down the list, and everybody loses players.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they all kind of fit together.
Yeah.
But Chris Long's a great, great guy.
Yeah.
And that was... And Michael Bennett was different, and he didn't want to do some of the things I find out now that they wanted him to do.
Yeah.
So back then, when they won the Super Bowl, everybody did it. And everybody, and if there wasn't somebody that would do it, somebody else would come up and say, hey, listen, this is what we got to do.
That's one of the things, though. I think you make a good point about chemistry because, look, why do teams that spend huge money in free agency most often fail? Okay.
Yes.
Why? I mean, okay. Le'Veon Bell. Yeah. That could work. I think it's got just as much of a chance to not work.
Yeah.
Because Le'Veon Bell basically strikes me as, and I think I like Le'Veon Bell as a player. I could argue that even today, after missing a year, he's the most complete running back in football. But I just wonder when a guy sits out football and he thinks he's worth X and all he wants to do is make X, I just wonder what's going to happen when he goes on a team that's 1-5. You know, what happens? Does he say, guys, it's like, you know what I thought was the coolest moment last year for the Browns? It's when Jarvis Landry stood up on Hard Knocks in training camp and he said, hey, you effing whatever receivers, you better start practicing. I don't care. This is important. I want you guys out practicing. Blah,
but you
blah,
need
blah.
Guys like
yes.
that. Yes.
Yeah. And so, in my opinion, the Eagles had 100 of those guys on a 50-man roster in 2017. They had the... They just had the perfect personality. They really did. I love Malcolm Jenkins. I mean all these guys.
And Doug Peterson was almost the perfect coach because they not only respected him, but they were almost kind of friendly. And you can't be both.
Yeah.
But he was close to being friends, but they did respect him.
Yeah.
And he respected them. And he, unlike Chip Kelly, he said, all right, this is your strength. I'm going to play to your strength.
Yeah.
Or Chip, obviously, that's why it didn't work in Philadelphia.
See, I think a lot of times, okay, so you go back to Chip Kelly. I think Chip Kelly was extremely smart.
Yes.
And I think if you were to give him sodium pentothal, he would say, I failed because I was a bad communicator.
And that was a big part of it.
And that's a big part of it because it's like, you know, Bill Parcells said this when I was covering the Giants in the 80s. One of the things he said was, players will listen to you, will always listen to you if you got pelts on the wall. When the Giants won the Super Bowl in 86, you know, next year in training camp, you know, if you didn't listen to Parcells, if you weren't with the program, you're out. He'll go get somebody who's with the program. That's why Bill Belichick can make all these rules. Some of these guys don't love being on the team. I don't think Chris Long wanted to play there for 10 years, you know, because I don't want to say it's joyless. It isn't joyless. It's fun because you win a lot. But it's just a different atmosphere,
right. You
know. And it's got to be for people who live, eat, breathe 24/7 football, which a lot of guys are. But anyway, I think my point is the chemistry that you need on your team is you have to have guys who not only love playing football.
Nick Foles won a Super Bowl forever in Eagles history. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz comes back. How do you think, and you seem to know the personality of Eagles fans, how do you think they react if Carson, the first bad game, not a bad game.
I don't think they're going to be like that, because I think, you know, Eagles fans are incredibly smart. They're emotional, but they're also incredibly smart, and they understand that Carson Wentz is a great player.
Yeah.
When all is well. And so,
well, you know what? They do, but there's still
they want to see it. They want
to
see it.
They wanted Foles instead of Carson Wentz
because obviously they saw Foles. But I think here's the big thing about both Wentz and about Eagles fans. I could pick out three games last year New England games that if you watch Tom Brady play, you would either say, "Oh man, this guy he's on his last legs,"
yes,
and everything. So a quarterback isn't going to play great every week. But I think the one thing that I believe is important this year about Wentz is to be the same. Because I understand that Doug Peterson doesn't want him running 10 times a game.
You know?
It's nobody wants their quarterback. Kyler Murray is not going to run 10 times a game. So nobody wants their quarterback to do that. But I don't think you can... you know, cut the will out of Carson Wentz. And you can't change him. You have to let him play the game that has made him as good as he is. And so I just believe that that the Eagles, you know, are going to be patient. And that would be the one thing I would say to fans about Wentz. You know, there's no physical reason to suggest in any way, shape, or form that he will not be what he was in November of 2017. There's no reason. So just be a little patient. That's all I would say.
You know what, Peter, we've seen officials make mistakes. And now this is all part of the NFL. And Sean Payton obviously outraged. And there's a lot of reasons he should be. However, if he ran the ball the first down, it might have changed all that and he would have gotten the clock down. But the reality of, are you one of those guys that said, oh, you got to change all these things and you got to give the coaches ability rather than the human elements part of everything we do? And it certainly is part of the officials.
I think it is eminently doable to address that play, but you just, and the way I would address that play is to tell NFL is to pass a rule that basically says you can, once per game, you can challenge a play that has not been called on the field. Once a game, that's it. And that will be one of your two challenges. Maybe you'll choose not to use it. Maybe you'll choose to use two challenges on something else. But
suppose you don't have a challenge left.
Then you can't fix it. That's your fault.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why I think this would work so well. Because every coach, who's smart anyway, would keep a challenge in his pocket for the apocalypse.
And then he's got to keep a timeout, too.
For the apocalypse.
You know, if you're in the last 2 minutes, you got to keep a timeout, too.
Yeah, probably. 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 But anyway, but here's the problem. Owners in the NFL do not want to have more replay in football. They just don't. And so they're sick of it. They think it already takes up too much time and is too much of a fan focus, so they're not going to fix it. In my opinion, they should fix it. I think they're making a mistake. But there's also the following unintended consequence. Suppose that you save your, say you're Bill Belichick.
Yep.
And you have saved your bullet. You've got your one challenge left. And the Miami Miracle play happens.
Oh, yeah.
And you lose in that thing. So just imagine that Bill Belichick now has one or two guys up in the press box. And they know at the end of a play like that, they got to find somebody on the field who for the Miami Dolphins, yep, one of the 11 guys who's committed a penalty. They're going back and forth. They've only got like 30 seconds to figure
yeah,
it out.
Right.
And then one of them says, hey, Bill, number 67, left tackle, Miami, he held Trey Flowers on that play. Throw the flag. Belichick throws the flag. 3 minutes later, the ref comes on the mic in the stadium. The ruling on the field has been overturned. There is no touchdown, blah, blah, blah. Now, you know, Howard, maybe there was a hold away from the play,
yep,
by number 67 of Miami. My only point on that is that the kind of football that you want? You want everybody in the stadium in Miami jubilant, you know, jumping up and down, yep, so happy. Oh, my God, we won. And then you find a penalty that happened that really didn't influence the play. Mm-hmm. But it is a hold. So it's being reviewed, and you have to call it. Is that worth doing that? And that might only happen
really
once or twice a year. But the reason why they don't want to start doing this, at least right now, is because they believe it'll open a gigantic can of worms.
All right, you did it a couple of years ago. I know you said you're not prepared. But the Eagles do have a chance to get to the Super Bowl. Good chance. Yes or no?
Huge. I think they got a great chance. Honestly, one of the reasons I think they got a great chance is I think they'll go 5-1 in their division. And there aren't many really good teams. Like, I'm not sure the Rams are going 5-1 in the West. I'm not sure the Bears are going 5-1 in the North. I'm not sure the Saints are going 5-1. So,
yeah, it'd be interesting.
That's an advantage right now, because the Giants are going to rebuild. Washington's going to rebuild. I don't know what Dallas is. So right now, you look at it and you say, I won't be at all surprised if they win 5 or 6 in their division. And that is the biggest factor toward getting home field in the playoffs. So I don't know. We'll see.
Peter, always a genius. Always a genius.
Thanks
a genius
a lot,
together.
Howard. It's good talking to you.
No, it's always my pleasure.
Peter King, always a fascinating guy, and he makes a great point, and I agree with him. The Eagles, within the division, they should be 5-1, which gives them a great advantage, as it has with the New England Patriots every year. It really gives them a great advantage when they had a horrible division and still have a weak division for years. But the Eagles should come out of the division 5-1, and that kind of sets up everything else. And their travel schedule this year is not anything close to the way it was last year. And I think one of the things that helped the Eagles, among a lot of things, to get to and win the Super Bowl is they didn't travel for the last six weeks of the season into the Super Bowl. That's a gigantic advantage. The schedule, as we speak, is not out yet, but they don't have a schedule that takes them very far. The longest trip is Dallas, and then beyond that is Minnesota and Green Bay, and the rest of it's kind of up and down the Eastern Seaboard. So great, great, great advantage there for the Eagles. And Peter King, always a fascinating guy, and we'll see how it all plays out. And we'll see how things work out, and see how it plays out for Carson Wentz. But Carson Wentz and Peter King agreed, and I agreed, was the better quarterback. Although, let's not take anything away from Nick Foles. Legendary, legendary in Eagles history. All right, now, I also talked to Sean McDermott. Sean McDermott, when he became head coach of the Buffalo Bills, he dealt with video games right off the bat. The fact that the Phillies were playing him during the games, I don't think that the players in football ever play him during the games. They're not that foolish and stupid. The Phillies did. Obviously, that's not going to happen anymore. But how did Sean McDermott deal with that? And we talked to Sean about a few things as well. Let's go. Let's hear from Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
All right, Sean, I really want to touch on a very, very important topic to start this off. Video games. Because the Phillies played him during the game, and you eliminated him in your first year as the Buffalo Bills head coach. Why?
Well, I don't believe it's part of doing a job well. This is just my own opinion, obviously, but in particular when you are playing a game. But in our situation, in our locker room, that's not a part of being a professional, not a part of staying focused on what we got to do to win a football game. I do understand the angle of team building, but all in all, it was just us in Buffalo trying to clean up what was done.
Okay, well, the Phillies played it during the game. That doesn't build any team. But how do video, you know, what are the players, and you probably had a players committee or put one together. Did they fight you on this?
Not at all.
Oh, okay.
Not at all.
All right.
And listen, at the same time, I think you get what you emphasize a lot. And so if we're emphasizing playing games and video games, look, the real game is on for us on Sunday. So, you know, it's about workplace environment. It's about building an atmosphere and an environment whereby we put everything into winning the game on Sunday.
All right. You came out of Andy Reid's coaching staff. You've obviously have to learn a few things. You've been an assistant, but as a head coach, it's different. What's different, and what do you take from Andy, maybe from Andy Reid, to help you through times until you get better?
Is this in relation to the video games piece?
No, no. No, I just.
No, I mean, listen, I learned a lot. I learned a lot from Andy Reid, and I think that his success speaks for itself. That said, we're all different, right? And so, if I try and be exactly like Andy Reid, then I won't be the best version of myself. And so, you know, I've learned a lot from Andy. I've learned a lot from Ron Rivera in Carolina, and then I've created some of my own philosophy as well. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's about getting better, evolving every year, and putting our players in a position to be successful.
And the quarterback is the most important element. And do you believe that's where you have to start building, even as a defensive guy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got a defensive background. That said, I don't believe in trying to win 7-6 every week. I think that's a tough way to live and try and sustain success. So we're trying to build a balanced football team to become a legitimate threat week in and week out.
All right, you are going into a meeting to decide rules. Are you in favor of replay for pass interference or not in favor?
Yeah, I'm in favor of getting it right. I'm in favor of getting it
that's
right.
That's an easy answer. I'd rather play video games then. Thanks, Sean. All right, the rule change. And I think all the coaches wanted to get it right. And here's the way, from what I was told, it played out. They met in the morning, and they changed a couple of rules. Nothing that really get the fans that excited. But they didn't have the vote to change the challenge on pass interference. They didn't have the vote. And they knew they weren't going to get the vote when they pushed the meeting till after they had lunch in Phoenix at the NFL owners' meetings. And they spent a couple of hours talking to the teams that didn't want to do it and the people on the rules committee that didn't want to change the rule and have challenge for pass interference. It puts a lot of things into question. The challenges don't increase, but it really does put a lot of things into question. I think it's okay. There will still be complaints when the officials don't change a call, and it's purely judgment. It's purely a judgment call. And I don't know if all the cameras will show that, because there's more cameras for certain games than there is other games, and you won't always get to see it. And the fact that you can challenge pass interference calls where a flag hasn't been thrown, I know John Gruden wasn't a fan of it, but obviously he went along with the other coaches and changed his mind. You know, he told me, how many flags do you want on the field? I periscoped that, and it's on my Twitter timeline. So I could tell he wasn't a fan, and he got screwed one time when an official changed a call, as we now know it as the Tuck Rule. But I'm okay with it, but I still think there's going to be issues and problems as people and as we go through it. As far as the Phillies, they are on people's minds here in Philadelphia. Bryce Harper has added energy to the ballpark. But there's way too many walks in the game of baseball. Way too many. I even if you get a well-pitched game and a pitcher doesn't give up that many runs, there's still
in a lot of cases, walks. And the Atlanta Braves, I have changed my tune. Now we'll see how this all plays out. I thought the Atlanta Braves would be a better team. Their pitching staff can't throw strikes. They are terrible at throwing strikes. Now I wonder, because they led the National League in walks last season, now I wonder how they actually won the National League East. But that being the case, the Phillies are right there, but the season is so long. It is so long. The Dodgers, can score a lot of runs. I think the Milwaukee Brewers are a very good team. So there's some teams in the National League. And even though Washington got off to a slow start, I just think the Washington Nationals are a better team than they showed people in the first series against the Mets. And I think the Mets are a better team, other than Miami. And I think Miami, I mean, they can't be any good. They have to stink. Other than Miami, I think every team in the National League East is good. And I think the Mets actually might be better than the Braves. We'll see how it all plays out. All right, thanks for joining us on another edition of the Howard Eskin podcast, available wherever you know where it's available. It's available all over the place, iTunes, whatever. You can put it down and you'll be notified when I come up and I put together another podcast on the Howard Eskin podcast. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.